Wonderful. I hate to sound like a broken record, keep asking, but could you hear okay? I didn't think so. I couldn't hear hardly anything back here. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened to the sound, but we will continue to work on it. It sounds muffled to me, but volume-wise, could you hear volume? No. Okay. I don't know. Are these speakers working? They are working? Okay, very good. We'll go to work on that. Thank you. I'm sorry. It was a good song. All the sound is in front of me, so I'm not getting anything back here, but I'm more concerned about you being able to hear, and I didn't think it was getting out to you tonight. Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11 in your Bible, find that. Let me give you a couple things that I want to just say here tonight at the beginning. I hope your parents will give a lot of attention to the opportunity for this youth conference. No camps and nothing like that. Listen, camps and conferences can be, have been, are life-changing for young people. And I don't think I would have my child sit out of that a whole summer. So I would encourage you to let them be a part of this activity that will be held here on our property. The preaching will take place from Elgin, but it will be live streamed here. And there are churches all over the states participating in this with their young people. So let me encourage you to let them be a part of that. And you say, well, $35, but that's T-shirt, that's four meals, that covers the whole thing. So that's not a bad price, and actually cheaper than what you would pay if they were going somewhere to stay for 3 or 4 nights. So hope that you'll take advantage of that. The other thing I want to say is, I announced this past Wednesday night that we're privileged to have the opportunity to have a young man coming as an intern here starting in July to train for 2 or 3 years for the gospel ministry. And you are very familiar with him, but Andrew Reardon and his wife Abby are coming here to be a part of the ministry for about 2 or 3 years. And Andrew's going to be involved in learning everything from the bus ministry, the youth ministry. He'll be working with me some personally as far as just preaching and so forth, and try to put him into every aspect of ministry. He does feel like God's call is for him to be an evangelist. That's a very difficult thing, just ask Brother Netterville to get going in. Ask Brother Gellis. Very difficult thing. Brent is very excited, headed out now to have 2 or 3 meetings out east this summer. But they don't come in overflowing abundance. And so Brother Reardon wants to train and work. And you know what? We got a good guy coming for a few years. He's a good man, and we know him well, know his parents, of course. And they'll be coming the 1st of July. They've already got a place rented down in Kankakee and within a stone's throw of Uncle Jeff's house. So that's a blessing down there. And within a stone's throw of Dairy Queen, more important, amen. And so that'll be good coming up in the month of July. You hearing me all right tonight? You hearing me okay? Just the music wasn't good. Let's stand together in Luke chapter 11. What did I say? The music was good. Man. That's what I'm saying. I enjoyed it, but I'm thinking, Lord, nobody can hear it. These four people standing up here just, oh well. Amen. The hottest seat in the church auditorium is behind the PA board. Amen. So anyway, all right, follow along. Luke chapter 11. After that good singing, let's read together. And it came to pass that as he was praying, talking about Jesus in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now I want to use that verse 3 as my title and text tonight, and just preach on the subject for a few moments, day by day. Father in heaven, we rejoice. Thank you so much for the privilege of having church tonight. Thank you for the freedom with which to meet. Thank you that we don't meet in any kind of nervousness like we did last week. I pray for our country. I pray for its healing. And Lord, the answer is not in the politicians. It's not in the state houses. It's not in the White House. It's in the book that you gave us. And God, it's in the churches that proclaim the truth of that book and the people of God who will take the truth of that book with them wherever they go. So God, please make us salt and light for our country's well-being in the coming days. Help me tonight. Fill us with your power. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. It is referred to as a sports cliche, or it's referred to as coach speak. What am I talking about? I am referring to what a baseball manager or player says to the reporter who is interviewing them concerning the baseball season, and in particular, their hopes of making the postseason playoffs. It goes something like this. The reporter, Ricky, so far you have had a great season, and now the playoffs are in view. How do you approach the next month in light of how important these upcoming games are? The manager, Jim, we are very pleased with how the season has progressed this far. The players are giving their all. They come to work every day ready to play. The reporter, well, in the next 2 weeks, you will play 4 of the best teams in the league. How do you prepare for that kind of schedule? The manager, we play 1 game at a time. 1 game at a time. Now, people will call that cliche. People call that coach speak, and I suppose to some degree it is in the entertainment industry of professional sports. But people, it's more than a cliche, and it's more than coach speak. You know what? When it comes to baseball or any other professional sport, plans can be made, personnel can be put in place, a rotation of players can be decided on well in advance. All that can go on, you know. It can all be written out in detail with every analytic to back all of their decisions up. But in the end, a baseball season is played out game by game, day by day. And the truth of the matter is, our lives are lived day by day. Now, this is a familiar text containing that great request that one of the disciples made to Jesus. They had been observing him pray. And when he finished, one of them said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Spurgeon is credited with saying, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." I don't know if he said that or not, but it's credited to him. So the disciple asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And so in response to that, Jesus began to give the disciples what we know, what we call the model prayer. One of the elements of that prayer was the request that you find in verse number 3. "Give us day by day our daily bread." Now let's break this down for a moment tonight. Let's start with the two words, "daily bread." In those words is the request for all things necessary to sustain life. I'm talking about food, I'm talking about drink, I'm talking about clothing, I'm talking about lodging. What is necessary for you and I to sustain daily living? That's what that means when Jesus taught them to pray, "Give us day by day our daily bread." That's what he's referring to with the words "daily bread." Now, look at the pronouns in the verse here. "Us" and "our" are plural. "Us" and "our" are plural. Now, a church doesn't meet on a daily basis. So I don't believe Jesus gave the prayer for the church to pray corporately, but I do believe this is a proper prayer for the head of a household to make for his family. I think it's something that definitely, you know, a dad can definitely see the need for praying that for his family. "Father, give us, my wife, our children, give us our daily bread." So you see "us" and "our." Then you look at the word "give" in the front of the verse. Give reminds a family that even though they may have physical health, they might have mental awareness, they might be able to hold a daily job, they have all of that, that still reminds them that provision comes from God. They work. They're not lazy. But they are dependent on God for all they need to sustain them. You know what give does? Give keeps them humble. They think about that. You know, they may have a wonderful garden, but they realize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. They did not create the soil in which the plants are bedded, nor the sun that gives the necessary warmth, nor the rain that waters those plants, nor the insects that pollinate the blossoms. All of that came from above. All of it came from God. So that word "give," they're not looking for a handout. They're not looking for something free. But that word "give" keeps them humble. It reminds them that our God is the one who provides and provides for us and sustains us. And then you look at the words "day by day." Now, that means they carried forth this dependence on God every day of their life. Day by day. They might have had goals and plans that stretched for decades. Those goals and plans might have concerned their house, their property, their children, their career, their accomplishments, their marriage, their acquirements, all the things that they want to have. But if all or any of those things were to be realized, those goals and those benchmarks and plans, It would happen day by day. Day, it's not a cliche. It's not coach speak. It's life. Day by day. How do you build a solid Christian life experience? You know how you do it, people? You do it day by day. You can set goals. You can set benchmarks for your life as a child of God that you feel would be reasonable accomplishments. But you're not going to reach those goals and make those benchmarks in one or even two leaps. You will reach them as you live for Christ day by day. Day by day. Let's ask you a few questions tonight. Do you desire to acquire a solid knowledge of God's Word? You know how you get a solid knowledge of God's Word, people? You don't just open it up and by osmosis get it. You read a portion of it day by day. And after enough days, you will acquire a solid knowledge. Now look, I don't claim to be anything close to a Bible scholar. I'm not sure I want to be. A Bible scholar speaks of a person that has it all up here, but not much in his practice. And as I said this morning, there's more to the Bible than just reading it and knowing what it says. It's putting it into practice in our lives, okay? But I am blessed, and God knows my heart. I am not bragging or boasting, but I am blessed at what I've learned from this book and about this book. But people, it didn't happen in one giant leap. It happened in 40-something years of just pretty much almost every day reading a portion of God's Word. Sometimes 10 chapters, sometimes 3. But just a little bit, day by day by day by day by day by day. And any child of God who does that with any effort of concentration whatsoever will get a solid knowledge of the Word of God. If you do it day by day. Another question. Do you desire to develop an intimate prayer life with your Heavenly Father? Well, it's not going to happen by praying once this week, twice the next, and then twice more 3 weeks later. It's not going to happen like that. You develop an intimate prayer life with your Father by praying some day by day. And in the process of daily praying, one day you're going to wake up and realize, you know what? I'm really enjoying a closeness with the Lord. It doesn't happen in one prayer session. It happens as God's child prays day by day, by day, by day, by day. You say, I don't have hours where I can spend in prayer. You know, something came to my mind as I was reading the other day from the Bible. Paul was a man given to intercessory prayer. We could all agree on that. All you got to do is read Paul's writings. He prayed often, talked about praying often for people. And you read many times of that. In his letters to the churches, he talks about his prayer for them. And I noticed that a word kept coming up about his prayers. And that word is mention. Mention. 4 times Paul told either a church or an individual that he made mention of them in his prayer. I made mention of you, making mention of you. I made mention of you in my prayers. Now, when I read that, it doesn't sound to me like the Apostle Paul spent elongated hours of prayer for Philemon. It sounds like to me, in his daily prayer, Paul had Philemon come to his mind and he said, Father, please bless Philemon today. He made mention of him in his prayers. Look, there's nothing wrong with hours and hours of prayer if you can do that. But folks, isn't it good to know that we have a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And He can do that for people that we just mention. Mention. Think about on your drive to work how many people you could mention in prayer. How many families you could mention in prayer. And this is how an intimate prayer life with our Heavenly Father is developed. It's not done through, I mean, people like John Knox and other men gave themselves to hours and hours and hours and hours of prayer. But that's not how it's done for most people. For most people, it's done day by day by day by day. Another question, do you desire to win many to Christ? There are a lot of people in the church who have a heart to try to win somebody to the Lord. Now look, we can set a tremendous goal to win so many people to the Lord, but that probably is not going to happen in one explosive day of Pentecost. Not many people have a day where you see 3,000 folks saved. All right? It could happen as we keep an eye out for opportunities to witness day by day. Day by day. Brother Allen gave a testimony yesterday morning at the bus meeting. And Brother Scott had preached on soul winning here on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago when I was visiting Pete and Leah, preached at the church there. And Brother Allen said he was convicted by the message. And he came to the altar and he prayed and he said, God, I want to do better. Please give me an opportunity to witness to. He called the name of his neighbor that he had not witnessed to yet. And Allen said the very next morning, Thursday morning, when he woke up, he said, Lord, give me a witness, an opportunity to witness to, I think his name was Paul today. And he started out on his exercise and on his run. And wouldn't you know it, just about a block and a half from his house on his return trip in running 3 miles, he came face to face with the neighbor. The neighbor was out for a walk. And Brother Allen said immediately he began to make all the excuses and say, you know, Lord, I didn't mean now, okay? I didn't mean while I was out for my run, and especially now, but he just determined before they met, I am not letting this opportunity pass. He stopped and talked to Paul about the Lord, about Paul's spiritual testimony, and Paul didn't get saved, but Allen was able to break the ice and give the gospel. That's how we become soul winners. That's how you win people to Christ. It's not in one explosive experience. It's day by day by day by day. Do you desire to build a close and strong marriage relationship with your spouse? One that lasts for decades and decades. You know how you do that, folks? Day by day. Now, Stephen and Molly are married, but I think I can say with all certainty tonight, this is no criticism, they don't have a strong marriage. It's only a little over 24 hours old. They probably have a happy marriage. It's only 24 hours old. But they don't have a strong marriage yet. Yet. But they can someday, and they should, if they will give themselves to the Lord and each other unselfishly, day by day, their marriage will eventually be strong. You're not going to have a strong marriage in the first week. Not going to have a strong marriage in the first month. Probably not going to have a strong marriage in the first year. But if over time, day by day, by day by day, husband and wife submit themselves to the Holy Spirit and to the truths of this book and yield themselves to be what this book asks them to be, you know what's going to happen day by day? They're going to build a strong marriage relationship. There's a bunch of them in this room tonight, and that's how it happened. It happened day by day. Do you desire to rear godly children? I'm talking about young men and women with character, with an education and a good work ethic, and men and women who are respectful and humble. Respectful and humble, not proud. Boy, if there's anything that defines this younger generation that's throwing bricks through windows and setting fire, it is an ugly pride. A awful, awful pride. Look, have you set goals and benchmarks for them to achieve, you know, by certain stages in life? I want my child this age to be this, and this age to be this, and this age to be this. I'm not against that. None of that will be realized in a single leap. None of that will be realized in just a couple of days. It'll be realized as those kids are taught and trained day by day. Day by day. From the first day they come into your home as little infants, that process of training and teaching begins. And it's day by day by day. Here a little, there a little, here a little more, there a little more, here a little more later, here a little more, here, there a little more later. Day by day by day by day by day. And by the time they get to be 18 and 19, you may be looking at that young adult woman or that young adult man who are people of character, who are humble and respectful and have a good work ethic and a love for God. That's how it takes place. Day by day. You can't wait till they're age 12. That's too late. Can't wait till they're teenagers. It starts early and it continues day by day. Now look, folks, I could go on and on tonight with all kinds of examples. But did you never, you know, God in His Word makes it clear that life is lived day by day. One day at a time. In fact, I stopped this week and I thought about God's creation. Do you realize that God's creation took place one day at a time? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and He did it day by day for six straight days. Now, allow me to be a bit personal for a few minutes tonight. Just transparent, okay? This is a special time of the year for my wife and me. In a few days, we will celebrate 41 years of marriage. 2 weeks ago marked the 40th anniversary of my ordination into the gospel ministry. Today marks the 30th anniversary of pastor of this wonderful church. Thank you. I haven't even picked up those buckets. They're in the office. But thank you for the cards and the recognition and the kind words from Alan and many of you afterwards this morning. I appreciate that. And so it's this time of the year for me and Joyce is a season where our hearts are full of thanksgiving and full of special meaning for us. I'll tell you where this message came from. Early one morning this past week, and I mean early, I had woken up early. I was sitting out on the back deck. It was a comfortable morning. Had my cup of coffee. Always, amen. And community with a little cream, half decaf, just in case you're wondering. Okay, all right. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking about 41 years of marriage, 40 years of gospel ministry, 30 years at one church. How'd that all happen? You know how it happened? The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. It happened day by day. Day by day. How do you stay together for 41 years and enjoy what we enjoy today? Well, you don't do it in one tall leap, Superman, because there ain't no Superman. There is Superman talking to you, and I'm not looking at Superman. I am, and I'm looking at people with a fallen sin nature who are only what we are by the grace of God. You don't stay together for 41 years unless you do it day by day. How do you stay in the gospel ministry for 40 years? You don't do it in one great jump. You do it day by day. How do you pastor one church for 30 years, day by day? How did Faith Baptist Church become the church that it is today? Please, please, God is my witness tonight. This message was birthed in meditation before Him, and I'm preaching it before Him tonight. I am not boasting. I'm not boasting about me or us corporately. Listen, but how over 200 missionary projects. The buildings and the property are paid for. Young people have been sent out in America and around the world to serve the Lord. Some churches have been started in our home state. A solid educational ministry through Faith Baptist Academy. Staff members who have been sent out now are pastoring their own churches. How does all of that happen? All of that the result of God's grace. I'm not minimizing that. You understand that. But people, look, none of that happens overnight. You know how it happens? Lord, give us day by day our daily bread. Life's successes are realized day by day by day. There is no magical formula. There is no lightning bolt coming out of the sky. There is no falling fruitful dust that's going to make everybody a success in what we do. It is living life day by day by day. That's how lifetimes are built. Now, give me a few minutes just of your time, a couple brief thoughts tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, when I think of living day by day, our lives do not have to be defined by our mistakes. I don't know about you, but I say hallelujah to God for that. Have you ever had a bad day? Okay, I guess not. All right. Well, let me talk to you about my bad days then, okay? I'm talking about those days where it starts off bad and it just never improves. And sometimes you know it. You feel it. Oh, boy. I'm talking about when you speak ill to your spouse and where the kids are whispering to each other, hey, don't mess up around Dad today. Don't mess up around Mom today. It's not a good day. And your coworkers have nothing to ask of you or say to you all day. Even the pets were social distancing themselves from you. Ever had one of those days? Can I get a witness from anybody out there? All right, good, good. Yeah, I've had those more than my share. My wife and I were talking the other day. We were on the drive to the wedding rehearsal. We were talking about that and just, you know, the things that if we could go back and redo, we would redo. And I talked about things that I would redo personally. And she talked about the one thing that she would do personally. Oh, no, that's in my opinion, you know. But she was talking about what she would redo. And you know, you know what's good, folks? It's good to know forgiveness can be requested and received from our kind and gracious Lord after we have a bad day. And apologies can be made to those who should get one. I'm so thankful as I look back over all these years of day by day. I'm glad that one bad day doesn't have to become two bad days. And if you have two bad days, it doesn't have to be three. I thought about old John Mark. You know, he quit right at the beginning of a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul and Uncle Barnabas. I mean, they had just gotten started. And he quit. He said, I'm done. And the next time Uncle Barnabas and Paul got ready to go on another journey, they had a disagreement, an argument that was severe. So severe that Paul said, I'm not going with Mark. And if Mark's going with you, forget it. And that missionary team split up because Paul wanted nothing to do with John Mark. And yet at the end of Paul's life, he writes to Timothy and he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Wasn't just friendship. Profitable for the ministry. What happened? We'll tell you what happened, church. Mark had a bad day. But one bad day did not define Mark's life. Since life is lived day by day, Mark could put enough good days together to make that bad day just a distant memory. And I'm thankful for the bad days that are distant memories, more thankful for the good days that God gives us as we live for Him day by day by day by day. You know, I receive special joy from different people in the church for different reasons. Many of you, in fact, all of you, one or the other, bring a joy to my heart for different reasons. There are some people I receive joy from because I sat with them after they had a bad day. I prayed with them. In some cases, I sorrowed with them. In some cases, we wept together. But then I watched as by the grace of God, they did not allow one bad day to define their life. And it's been years now since that time that we sat together and wept and prayed over a bad day. And they, by the grace of God, have strung together enough good days that is a distant, distant memory. And you can see God's blessing on their life as they live for Him day by day. Day by day. It's good to know that one bad day does not have to define our life. Our lives do not have to be defined by mistakes. Have you had a bad day recently? I'm not talking about a day that you just didn't feel good. I'm talking about a bad day spiritually. Had a bad day at home? Had a bad day on the job? Had a bad day as far as your testimony goes? Your life does not have to be defined by one bad day. You got the rest of your life to string together good days to live for God and let God bless you. Now, number two, let me say this tonight. Great blessings are encountered in living day by day. Great blessings are encountered in living day by day. We might call those blessings, and some of you will recognize this phrase, handfuls on purpose. I love the story of Ruth. Wow. This Moabite girl comes back with her Jewish mother-in-law to Bethlehem, Judah, after both of them lost their husbands in death. When she gets to Bethlehem, Judah, Ruth rises up in the morning and goes to the fields to glean. Because under Jewish law, she was given that opportunity, seeing she was a stranger in the land. You know what that means, church? She was an immigrant. She was a Moabite in Jewish country. The corners of the fields, the corners, were not to be harvested so that the strangers could glean and have something to eat. What a novel concept. Work for your food. Wow. Wouldn't that solve some issues? Amen. So she goes out to do just that. That's all she's doing, is going out to glean. Just find a little food. As a Moabite heathen girl, she finds a promising field to glean in. She thought to herself, boy, I'll tell you what, that looks like that was a field that produced a lot of grain. I bet there's a lot of grain laying on the ground. I bet there's a lot of promise of grain out there. But I want to tell you something, that field held more promise than she knew. Oh, yeah. She's out there gleaning, working maybe some sweat perspiring on her brow. Boaz comes riding in, speaks to his laborers. Good morning, sir. By the way, it is possible for employees and employers to have a good relationship. He came in, there was a lot of love for each other there. And he took an interest in that Moabite girl over there. Yeah, I've heard something about her around town. She came back with Naomi. And he went over to her and he told her, he said, hey, look, at lunchtime, don't worry about eating. I got some extra food that you can have. And when you get thirsty, I want you to go over to the vessels that the workers have prepared. And I want you to draw some water from their vessels. Then he went over to his workers and he said, now, boys, don't you bother that girl. You leave her alone. And you let her glean. I love it. Let her glean among the sheaves. The sheaves are not in the corners. The sheaves are in the main part of the field. So that girl doesn't have to go over in the corner of the field to pick up a few pieces of grain. And by the way, fellas, every once in a while, I want you just to reach down and I want you to grab a great big old handful of grain on purpose. And while she's not looking, just throw it down. Well, she's gleaning and gleaning and gleaning and she's working and sweating and she's gleaning. She wasn't looking for a handful on purpose. She was looking for enough food for that. But you know what God did? She came home. And Naomi goes, where did you glean today? What stock did you invest in? I mean, good night. Look at this. Look. She didn't go out that day to find a husband. But do you understand, in living day by day, day by day, God gave her these handfuls on purpose every now and again. Maybe they didn't come every day, But as she continued to glean day by day, she kept running across these handfuls on purpose. And people, I promise you, it may not always be easy, and there may be some lean times, but if you just decide, I'm going to live for God day by day by day by day by day by day by day. You do that long enough, and you're going to run across handfuls of blessings that your Father throws down. And you look this way and look that way and look this way. Wow. That's how it happens. Great blessings are encountered day by day. One Saturday many years ago, I was just trying to live for God day by day. Just going out to try to glean in the city of Kankakee. Just glean. Who could I get to ride the bus tomorrow? I'm walking down an alley behind Chicago Street, Chicago Avenue, whatever it is. And God gave me a little 11-year-old black boy who now is a 40-year-old man with a wife and two kids, one of our adult Sunday school teachers. Every time I look out there at Brother Larry Johnson, I think a brick's being thrown through the window. No, I'm sorry. I'm really about that. Man, forgive me. What am I saying? Man, forgive that. You know, I told Larry that I, before church, he didn't know I was going to say this. And I had this in my notes, Larry, before. You know, he's in line for a promotion at his job. And I said, Larry, you couldn't be in a better position for a promotion in your job right now as an African American man. It's done, brother. It's over. You know, you're going to get it. Amen. We laugh together about that. But I'm going to tell you, folks, you know what that is sitting out there? That's a handful on purpose. That's a handful on purpose. That's all that is. Just a handful on purpose. Just trying to glean a little bit in the corners. God said, here you go. I didn't set out that morning for a handful on purpose. I set out for just a little gleaning. Can I just get a little grain? And church, I want to tell you something. Sitting on my deck early this past week, sipping on that coffee and just reflecting on how all of this has happened and asking myself, how? The Spirit of God said to me, give us day by day our daily bread. I just want to encourage you tonight, no matter what age you are in life, day by day, give it all to Him. If you have a bad day, it doesn't have to define your life. You can string enough good days together to make that a distant memory. And if you'll just live for God day by day, eventually you're going to run across a handful on purpose that your Father just throws down. And I just rejoiced yesterday as I pronounced Stephen and Molly, husband and wife. And I wish you all could have seen the anticipation on that boy's face when he realized he was about to kiss his bride. I mean, it was like, I'm not kidding. You know, a lot of people just smile, but he was like, and introduced them as Mr. and Ms. Stephen Painter, and it was sweet, and out they went, and I looked over there, and old Brother Rich was just fighting back the tears. You know how that happens? Day by day. Well, the McDonald's have some, no, the McDonald's don't have some formula. It's day by day. It's day by day by day. By day. One bad day doesn't have to define our lives. And if you just live for God day by day, one of these days you're going to walk across a handful on purpose. It's worth it to live for God day by day. Let's pray. Father, take the message tonight. Work in our hearts as only you can. I love you. I thank you. I rejoice in your grace. And Father, in no means whatsoever did I mean to exalt myself or any other person. I meant tonight to exalt you and how you constructed our lives to be lived day by day. Father, I pray that you'll bless every man, woman, teenager, child in this room to just live tomorrow for you and then live Tuesday for you and Wednesday for you. And when we have a bad day on Thursday, help us to get back to living for you on Friday, day by day by day. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Hope tonight that the Spirit of God visited you where you're sitting. You say, Pastor, something was said that encouraged me, reminded me, shook me a little bit, and God spoke to my heart tonight during the time of preaching. I need to go home and embrace whatever it is He spoke to me about. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you tonight, day by day by day. Amen. Father, I love you. Please help us as we leave tonight not to leave truth in our seat, but to take it with us. I pray in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. Let me encourage you. I know we're in the gym. I know it's awkward. I know it's not an auditorium. But if God spoke to you, respond. Turn your seat into an altar or slip up here in this open space just for a moment and acknowledge the working of God in your heart. Let's stand together. Our music begins while we play the song of invitation. It's day by day by day. Day by day by day. Pastor, I'd like to become really familiar with my Bible. Good. It won't happen in a 3-day Bible conference. It'll happen day by day. Pastor, I'd like to develop an intimate relationship with the Lord in prayer. Hey, Paul was pretty intimate in his prayer life. He made mention of people. Just mention. Pastor, I'd like to be a soul winner. You're not going to win 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. You can win somebody this week, maybe next week, or a testimony. Bad days don't have to define our lives. We can get past those. And if we live day by day, eventually we're going to run across a handful on purpose. May God help us tonight, day by day by day.